Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Greetings, podcastlings. It's Chris Hardwick. So, couple quick pieces of business before we get into the podcast. Number one, this was recorded on February 14th. I know. Why did it take you so long to put it on the internet? I don't know. It just did. I was busy. I don't have a good excuse. I'm sure I will still get people online who are like, "Yeah, why do you keep referring to Valentine's Day? Frumph." And they'll spell out hermph. And I don't know. To those people, pretend that you've slipped through a rift in time, a very ineffectual rift that only takes you forward 2 weeks. And yay, you get to travel in time. So second thing is that right after the Rob Hubel interview, I ran over to the House of Blues and talked to Motion City Soundtrack quickly while they were setting up for their February 14th show here in Los Angeles. So not as long as the Hubel interview, but still a twofer, or more like a one and a quarterer, because it's a little shorter. But I'll talk to them really fast, and then they play a song, and then it was awesome. So thanks to those guys for doing that and letting me tack it on to the end of this one. And then last piece of business, if you listen to this before March 6th, I will be headlining the Improv in Los Angeles doing stand-up comedy jokes. Mike Furman's going to be there. Jonah Ray from this podcast will be there. Greg Barron, a lot of really awesome people. And then also March 12th and 13th, I'll be performing at Comics in New York. And I'm only going to be doing 4 shows, and then I probably won't be doing any stand-up in New York again for a while. So come out to that. And all the details, of course, are always at Nerdist.com if you care. So that's enough business for now. I'm going to quit talking now so you can hear me talk more. Weird.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Started yet?
We are recording.
We're recording.
Yeah.
Right now we are?
Right now?
No. This is the recording part.
Right? And begin.
Does everyone sound okay? Because last week there was a bit of an audio disaster.
Sounds much better.
It does sound good.
Do I sound okay?
You sound fantastic.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Man, so many jokes lost.
Do I sound as gay as I want to sound?
You could sound a little gayer.
I think you're gay enough.
All right.
Who said that, Chris?
Let me try to gay it up.
Who's the one that just said that?
Oh, so introduce the guest?
He's already fucking talking.
Guys, Rob Hubel is here. If there was an audience, they would be cheering and clapping.
I like how we're doing it like it's not in the title. Rob Hubel.
Well, what about the blind? Why do you hate them?
Yeah, what about blind people?
There's no fuck. iTunes isn't in
how
Braille,
do they work
Matt.
It? How do they work iTunes?
It doesn't raise off the screen so they can read letters with their fingers. So we need to tell people who's on the show.
Snow Leopard supports many Braille readers.
I can't even publish iCal with password protecting it, so...
I can't even...
The iCal evil nerd rage. iCal, you win again.
Thank God they have you.
So yeah.
We're currently in the WebSoup offices because we didn't know where else to go today.
This is creepy on the weekends.
It's like a freaking graveyard.
This would be a place to rape somebody. If you were going, I'm not saying that I'm thinking about it. I'm not currently planning one, but I'm saying if it...
Your travel guide? Places to rape?
Ugh. What if someone published a book?
Fromer's Guide.
Yeah.
And right behind, there's a great little alley for raping people.
It's right under the oldest building in Amsterdam.
Right by the La Brea Tar Pits.
And also really good coffee around the corner. So when your energy's low from all that raping.
Well, we've officially earned the explicit box that's next to the title. No, it's fine. You can say whatever you want. Rob Hubel and I were talking about the fact that as we were walking up to the podcast and Matt Myra was setting it up, MacNerd Matt Myra, and Jonah Ray on my right.
I was just sitting around.
Just sitting around.
You guys
in
were all
office.
Doing stuff. I was
yeah,
just
what
sitting
were you guys
right
doing here already? Why are you here on Valentine's Day? Or should I not date this? It's not Valentine's Day.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
You can't date a podcast, Rob.
Oh. Sorry.
Homophones, words that sound like other words.
Jonah has made these 8-bit awesome things with post-it notes. So there's a flaming Super Mario up there. Like when he, I know that sounded weird. I didn't mean it that way. But when he gets the fireball, there's fireball Super Mario.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's a Tom Servo right behind you.
Yeah, and there's a Mega Man.
All made out of colored post-its.
Yeah, I actually had to special order the black post-its.
Boring. All right, so
worst podcast. Ever. Those guys talked for 2 hours about colored post-it notes.
Yep.
I wanted to kill myself.
You see, because Rob, you can get orange. There's also aqua. Then there's salmon. You can get salmon post-it notes. Rob, you found a dog last night, and that was part of the conversation that we were having before we started recording the podcast.
I found a dog last night at midnight, and I put him to sleep this morning.
Wait, you mean you put him to bed?
No, I euthanized him. What? I tried so Why would you... hard to well, find him like a you... home. You... I really
but
gave
But it was
him
overnight.
All.
Didn't sound like you tried that hard at all. Really? Sounds like you just woke up and then killed him.
Well, he was really cramping my style.
Really. Rob's a commitment phobe. Listen, I'm going to have really to...
Care. I tried to do something nice to help him. I found this this German Shepherd last night in Los Angeles, and he belongs to somebody. I'm telling you, he's really sweet. But right now I'm here, and he's probably humping my bed or my sofa or something like that.
Yeah,
or,
what else is he going to do?
He's probably, what?
Come
what?
On.
I don't know. He's,
Rob, say it slower.
I don't know. I mean, whatever dogs do. I mean, they probably pull out their little pink penises.
They probably unwind their lipstick all over your toothbrush.
Why do my toothbrush taste like dog cock? Again?
Tastes like dog.
Sub question, why do you know the taste of dog cock?
That's not the issue. The issue here is that my teeth have never looked brighter.
The taste of dog cock.
Are you going to keep them? Do you know? Maybe, Rob, maybe there's someone out there in our listening audience who is missing a
dog. Somebody's missing a dog.
I found him last night, and I put an ad on Craigslist. And but I went to the, you know, I'm already like attached to him. I went to the pet store today, and I spent like $100-something like buying stuff I don't even need, you know, like butt plugs for a dog. Like, what?
They sell those?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Wow.
It could have been a chew toy.
I'm
not sure.
There are weird things. There are like little straps you can get for dogs that just hover around the back of their anus. So that if they poo, they just poo right into the bag. Like
wait
a
second.
New York
they don't
City.
Make that.
There, you know
that?
What?
I can look it up right now.
Don't you threaten me.
Someone showed me on Etsy that someone makes basically stickers for your dog's asshole. And so it's like instead of seeing a puckering instead of seeing those puckering dog butt lips,
oh,
you see
of
like a tulip.
Yeah, I would like or a Pac-Man.
Yeah, and then if they start shitting, it just starts spewing out the sides.
Oh,
I guess.
Oh, that's great. That's what a lovely idea.
Like something like the abyss, like the thing just kind of getting into the
messier.
Laboratory.
But pet stuff is so expensive. I really was blown away. I like even the dumb things, you know, like the baggies to pick up. Poop. There it is.
The poo trap.
He's showing
the poo trap.
Jonah's showing us on
no
the internet.
No poops, no oops. Worry-free poo collection. 3 simple steps. Perfect fit for any size dog. Connects easily to dog collar. Adjustable for any plastic bag. Walking dog, your different...
Is that now the Nerdist podcast sponsor, poo traps?
Thanks
poo
for trap. Turning into...
Hey, dog, stop shitting on the earth.
Can you imagine how humiliating that is for a dog?
Well, because already dogs, when they're shitting, their ears go back, and they always just kind of look like, I'm sorry,
I'm
I have
so
to do this.
Sorry.
I know
I'm
this
so
is
sorry.
So embarrassing that you have to watch me do this.
I'm a good boy.
And but then to put a fucking, to put a, an ass condom on the back of a dog so he can fill it with poop.
It looks like a surgical mask.
I saw a dog with sunglasses yesterday at the Grove.
Was it Spuds McKenzie?
It did not have a skateboard or surfboard.
Huh.
Why was he wearing sunglasses? Did it seem like it was his idea or his owner's idea?
I think it was his owner's idea. They were strapped in pretty good. And the owner was like not a typical guy you would think would have a dog with sunglasses.
What is it? He wasn't homeless?
He looked like my dad. And my dad would never
It wasn't Nick Nolte from
dog.
Down and Out in Beverly Hills?
Yes.
who now, Nick Nolte has kind of become that guy from Down and Out in Beverly Hills. I think Nick Nolte just jumped in our pool with a bunch of rocks in his jacket.
Fracka, fracka, fracka.
Well, now he's going to fuck my wife and daughter, and then everything will turn out fine. Yay. Down in Beverly Hills, not available on VHS.
You know what they should do? They should remake Walk Like a Man and have Nick Nolte in the same part.
You know what? That's a great idea, because I'm tired of good movies being remade. They should go back and make the ones that didn't get it right the first time.
Exactly.
Oh, that reminds me. I'm in a... I don't want to date this. If I mention a current movie, am I gonna date this?
Yes, but that's fine.
Okay, well...
people will listen to it, and then they'll throw it away.
Well, I Twittered something about going to see that movie Frozen, that horror movie, about the chairlift. It's three kids that go skiing, and I Twittered something like, if you think for a fucking second I'm not going to see this movie, then you don't get what I'm trying to do with my life. But I think I called it a dumb movie, and some kid forwarded it to the director of that movie. And so then the director of the movie was like slamming me. He was like, who's this guy? I don't even know who that guy. He doesn't make movies. I make movies.
The director is right. Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah. The director is Dick Cheney.
The director is Bob Evans.
Then I fucked Ally McGraw, and then I had to tell this kid that he didn't know dick about
he
shit.
He didn't know squat about
shit. Did I care? Hell no.
Did I fuck her? You bet I did.
That's my favorite Robert Evans isms, is just asking yourself a question and then going, you bet I did.
And then answering it. Do I like asserting a point and then answering it? Yes, I do.
Of course I do.
But anyway, that movie seems like a really great movie. Is what I'm retracting any negative thing I said about that movie, because I don't want this director to come to my house and beat the crap out of me. So I'm saying that it's probably
this
a
is
great
for Frozen.
Yeah.
What would you do if that was his dog?
Oh man, if I found his dog,
And his dog's nice, so he might be kind of a nice guy.
Yeah. I would say, I'm so sorry I put your dog to sleep. I'm so sorry.
To be fair, I froze him.
He's like frozen. That. Here he is.
That's the shitty thing about, you know, just as comics. I mean, I have a joke in my act about it, about how, you know, I do Chelsea Lately all the time, and so I'm constantly shitting on people who are more successful than I am.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, and then I always feel a little bad, like, I hope they understand that I'm just fucking around. Like,
you know what? I don't know that they do. I don't think I would. Like, when anyone says anything bad, you know, you're a person and you're like, fuck you, that hurt my feelings.
Yeah,
you
know? I just always feel like, how can anyone take anything the shipmates guy said seriously? You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like, how could they really be like, oh, I feel taken down a peg? It was like, I made fun of, you know, before John Mayer revealed that his cock is Hitler in Playboy.
Wow.
Wait, I missed that part.
We should talk about that.
He made some crack about how his he's never slept with a black woman, that he thinks his cock is a white supremacist.
Oh, yeah. I heard that.
And then I think he dropped the N-bomb a couple times.
Yeah, I remember all that.
Yeah. Gas thing.
So, but I, you know, months before it was even hip to make fun of him.
In fairness, always been hip to make fun of John.
Yeah. I made a joke about him on Chelsea Lately where I guess the story was he was at a steakhouse having a dinner and someone handed him a guitar, so he just started playing songs for everybody. And the joke I said was, wow, I feel really bad for the cows. First they get killed and turned into steaks, and then they sit through a John Mayer concert. And then the next day on Twitter, he was like, why are they so mean to me on Chelsea Lately?
Yeah, I think people it's very easy to find out about anything that is said about you. You know, I mean, you do a blog search of yourself on Google, and you can see what every 11
put an alert, a Google
what
alert.
Every 11-year-old says about you.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
That's the thing. It's always just kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's me and my friends used to make fun of shit all the time growing up, but we didn't have the access to the internet to make it known.
And you grew up on Hawaii, so it was just like, those are dumb coconuts.
Those stupid coconuts.
Nice grass
those
skirt.
Coconuts had it coming, I'll tell you.
Nice 12-letter alphabet.
Gay coconuts.
What is this, all vowels? Fuck that.
This is stupid. I just feel bad, though, because I know, it's funny, as a comic, you know, 10 people can say really nice things about you, and then one person you don't even know who they are is like, you suck. And you're like, what did I do?
You
crumble.
I was talking to Steve Agee about that, about Twitter specifically, and he was just saying that he'll just block anyone. that says anything
so empowering
negative.
To just be like, block.
Yeah. He's just actually currently having a weird time with it, because him and Todd Barry started
a
Twitter
war.
And then people started taking sides.
Yeah.
And it made Steve just... He's like, people are so mean.
Yeah.
He just couldn't handle it. People were being brutal
to him. I think he and Todd are stopping their Twitter war because of that. Because fans of either or attack the other guy, you know.
And it's so funny that we work in a profession where we fucking dish it out relentlessly, and then it's so hard to take it back.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I guess it's one thing if it's, you know, if it's like if someone like you, that, I mean, like, you're Rob, you're hilarious. And so if you took a shot at me, I might be like, ah, fuck, that was really funny. I don't know why. Why are you making that face?
Oh, no, I didn't know where you were going with this.
No, I was going to say, did you already take a shot at me?
I hope you don't read what I wrote about.
Oh, my God, that's really embarrassing.
He's been live tweeting this whole thing.
It's amazing that you even agreed to come on the show.
I just fucking took you down a notch, bro.
Damn.
Good one, Rob.
Yeah, buddy.
It's just funny how high school-y it can be where someone can, if someone even just says, like, the letter U and then suck.
Yeah, that's all the internet is. The internet is high school just continued on until however long you are still on the internet. You know, that's all it is. Like Twitter, Facebook, all of that is just high school.
Yeah, it just makes people feel closer than they actually are. Just it makes every acquaintance seem more like a friend because you're so familiar with the things they do all the time.
Yeah.
And it just, it's the worst.
And you, but you totally invite it. But you totally invite it when you're a comic. You totally invite
it. Yeah.
Because you're shitty about other things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, your job is to make fun of stuff and to crap on as many things as you can crap on, but unfortunately, that involves talking about real people who have real lives.
Yeah, for the most part, though, that's why most of my comedy has always just been making fun of myself. So that's
I just make Hitler jokes. That's all I do is make Hitler jokes.
I just make fun of Antarcticans, those fucking glacier jumping icebacks.
Icebacks.
Most of my stuff is just puppet work now, like Jeff Dunham, because I just figure, you know, if I can speak through a puppet, it's just funnier, and it's not me saying it; it's my hilarious puppet that's
So your puppets, you make fun of everyone. Do you also make fun of white Christians?
Yep. No. Wait.
Oh.
What? No.
Well, yeah, but you said you make fun of everyone equally.
No way. I'm
with
not
your
gonna,
puppets.
No. If in fact, well, if that's we not even equally. Start, if we even start to do that, I'm leaving.
Well, you just said that it's okay to make fun of other races with your puppets.
It is.
You
all the wrong races and wrong religions. It's great to make fun of them. If you're not white Protestant, you're wrong. Everybody knows that.
Like, you've with been everything. Hearing a segment from Rob Hubel's one-man show, The Jeff Dunham Story.
I think they... I hope people know I'm kidding about that.
We'll cut that out.
Please cut that out. Please.
Rob Hubel said this.
Please don't have people mark this.
Yes, he believed it 100%.
Remember the...
My girlfriend's black, so...
I have a friend who has a black girlfriend, so I'm totally good.
So that's two fake people you just made up.
I saw a black person once.
Zingers.
You had the Dog the Bounty Hunter Halloween?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to a Halloween party, and I was dressed as Dog the Bounty Hunter, and I got lost walking to the house, and so I ended up just walking back and forth up and down the street, and I was walking past... one of the Orthodox Jewish like temples or whatever, and they were all hanging out that night. There was like a party or something going on, like a Halloween party.
Did you just hang out and attend an Orthodox Jewish?
Well, they were
Jewish
already
temple.
Dressed in their Orthodox Jewish costumes, and they're like, "Hey, let's wear these."
What are they gonna do? Go home and watch TV?
Oh, slammed.
They're not.
Anyway, so yeah, I kept walking back and forth dressed as full on Dog the Bounty Hunter, like wig, you know, the whole bit, leather chaps and everything, and everyone was just like ridiculing me, like it was. Just bad.
The Orthodox Jews were ridiculing you?
Yeah, I felt like I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I just also looked weird. And it was also right when he had said all this racist stuff. And so there was also...
You forgot about that.
You mean always?
I forgot that he said all this racist stuff. And I just thought like, oh, he's a funny character. And so I'm dressed as this racist guy. And then also like a van full of like black guys drove by. And I was like, oh, this is how I die. This is the end of my life. You know?
They don't understand. Yeah, you kind of hope they understand. You can play it off as irony. Like, oh, this guy's so ridiculous. I was just like, oh, I have to be this crazy racist guy because it's funny. It's comedy. Yeah.
You have to dress like this guy.
I was just in Austin, Texas, which is there is a huge hipster cluster there.
Yeah,
are you gonna be at South by this year?
I think I'm gonna go there. Yeah, are there people there that wear like cool plaid shirts and stuff like that and like scruffy beards?
Yes,
and...
they're vaguely Weezer-esque.
Okay, great.
I'm sitting right here.
Oh, Jonah, I'm sorry.
Oh, hi, Jonah.
So anyway, they wear these stupid like Mad Men glasses, and they oh, this is really awkward.
It'd be neat if a whole town just suddenly started dressing like 50s. Like, just the whole town just bought into it.
That would be really rad.
Wow.
I wouldn't mind that.
Someone should do that.
Although, you know what's happened? Happened in Austin is that they have...
keeping it weird, right?
They're parts of it are keeping it weird, but then other parts have turned into this weird douchetopia. Like, that 6th Street...
The Silver Lake?
It's like I saw a dude when I was walking through downtown. There was a dude with a faux hawk and Mardi Gras beads. And I'm like, well, those two things just made each other...
infinitely worse together. And it's not like some of the hipsters have moved out of that malt, that kind of pub crawl
that
space
area,
of Sixth.
Well, the original hipsters there that really like brought up that recent scene of, you know, the blow up of history. Like they're all starting to move out into the neighborhoods.
They're getting older.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting so houses.
Now it's time for the people who were inspired by people who were into ironic culture. So now it just seems it's like a double fake thing. I saw two guys at I was at Garage Pizza the other night, and there was these two really douchey guys talking. Like, what do you want to do? Well, Adam says we're all going to go to 4100 tonight. And the guy's like, man, that's DB Central. What do you mean? That's a douchebag. The place is full of douchebags. And I've never seen two bigger douchebags in my life not want to go to a 4100 bar because it's full of douchebags.
They're like robots. They lack self-awareness.
Yeah.
That's the problem with douchebags.
Yeah.
They can be easily programmed, but they lack self-awareness.
And once they do retain that self-awareness, it is dangerous for all of us.
Maybe I like that bar. I think that bar is cool. Does that mean I'm a douchebag?
Well,
yes.
That I am a douchebag, but that's not what makes me a douchebag.
Is it because you want to start another bar called Pussy High Five, whereas anyone goes, Pussy High Five?
Oh, I'm dude, there. If there were a bar called Pussy High Five, that would be awesome.
You want to?
I will start a bar called Pussy High Five. Let's please start that bar.
Let's try to get a douchebag collective to get together and chase all the hipsters out and just like watch them go to cultural war.
Yeah, I really want. There's a bar right near my house in Silver Lake. It's Rough Trade, or no, it's La Barcita. It's a gay bar. It's a leather daddy bar. And I just it, but it's the only.
It's a leather daddy bar.
You know, they're just mustaches, leather, and hair.
And they're someone's dad. Is that, they have to be someone's father.
Leather daddy. They have children. Yeah, they just got the straps and.
I don't know the different categories of gay people. I know like bears.
Yeah, they can be considered bears in a way.
There's bears and cubs.
Yeah.
What's a cub?
I think the cub is the little guy that likes to date the bear. Like the bear protects him. Okay. It's a kind of a My Bodyguard dynamic.
Oh, there's that's
twinks
a good movie.
Too. Twinks are the ones that they look like they could be underage.
Now that's pretty inside knowledge. Yeah. I didn't know that, Matt.
Well, I work right next to West Hollywood. So
you know.
And I once accidentally went to Provincetown on Bear Week. Which was odd.
So you were very popular then, huh?
I was.
Accidentally. Yeah, you're very bearish.
Yeah. I found that out.
Are you available for some type of cub link?
Cub. I'll post for a calendar.
All right. We'll do the Nerdist calendar.
Yeah, if you want.
Maybe the bear.
My friend Preston is a kind of a bigger, hairier dude.
Preston! Your friend Preston!
he gets wasted and ends
at the yacht club?
If you see this guy, he is quite the opposite of
trying to keep those townies down.
Just kind of
wait, four. The writers of the townies.
But he, you know, a lot of pictures of him at parties with just his like getting wasted, taking his shirt off, and then for some reason he's starting to find himself on these gay porn sites or just like you know bear sites where he's like there's a following of guys like that love his pictures.
Wow. I'd be kind of honored. You know, for some reason I'm weirdly. More complimented if someone on Twitter is gay and they're like, hey, you're hot. I kind of feel like I feel like gay people are more selective.
Yeah, I'm not offended by that. I feel like gay people like cooler things. Not necessarily cooler things, but at least like you know you're a better dresser than like
yes.
Oh good. Yeah. At least I'm dressing well.
Yeah. I completely agree. So gays, if you're out there and you like us, let us know
on Twitter.
What's that called? What's that called? Straight guys that appreciate the appreciation of gay dudes.
I think that's called this show. Mm. I think that's what that's called. I was at the airport this morning when I flew back in from Austin, and it's today's Valentine's Day. I don't know when this is going to go up, but I think everyone understands that this is not live.
This is streaming live on iTunes.
We
ruined two people that were thinking it was live.
So I was in the bathroom at LAX, and there was this dude on the phone the whole time, and he was talking to his girlfriend. He was like, I'm going to pick up some flowers on the way home so I can keep the home fires burning.
Wow.
But the whole time, he was like, he walked into the bathroom, went up to the urinal, took his dong out in one hand, peed. The whole time, he was like, I'm going to bring home some flowers because you deserve the best. I'm going to get a huge bouquet. But he was going on the whole time. His dick was in his hand.
Was it Yosemite Sam?
It was Yosemite Sam. And he was upset with that Wascally Wabbit who he was going to bring flowers home to.
You deserve the best.
You deserve the best.
Oh, that's kind of a dumb thing to do. Just telling, I'm going to get you flowers. I'm going to come home and bring you flowers. And don't you want to surprise the lady?
Well,
I don't know anything about women.
It was weird that he was so earnest about it.
He's cheating on her. That's
what's happening.
Yeah,
he was in the bathroom. bathroom at LAX.
He was
a twink.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a husband that randomly just goes, I love you so much.
I love
you
so
out of nowhere.
Much.
Most likely he just fucked another girl.
I just need to tell you I love you so much. Yeah. Unsolicited, unsolicited for no reason.
Oh, who
just out of thin air.
Who covered our bed in rose petals?
Must be the man that loves you and is so true.
Yeah, that means he's cheating.
We have not had a dinner together in 4 months. I know, but I love you so much. I just need you to know that right now.
You smell like another woman's privates. I know, but I love you.
It was a test. It was a test I took to make sure I still love you so much.
I went to Pussy High Five last night.
And you can't go to Pussy High Five without pussy and high fives. You can't. I would love this. Let's make Pussy High Five like the old Chuck E. Cheese. We'll just have like animatronic
Pussy Five band.
Pussy, yeah, just animals, objectified animals, objectified rats with their tits out. All six tits, all six objectified rat tits. Playing.
Hardwick, did you live in New York ever? I can't remember.
I lived there for like 6 months.
Oh, Jonah, did you live there?
I lived there for about 3 months.
Oh, well, they have this huge inflatable rat that they put out, that like the labor unions put out whenever there is this, whenever they're protesting, like if a construction site is going on and it's like they're using non-union guys, mm-hmm. the union guys will come down and put this huge, terrifying, like inflatable rat, like right in front of the construction site. And they'll sit there and they'll march around it and stuff like that. But it, whatever you just said about the rat made me think about that. It was like the fucking scariest thing.
I bet
and
it like, works, too.
Yeah, it works. Because like dudes don't want to show up for work if there's all these like union construction workers around protesting them and this gigantic... It's an inflatable rat with like evil eyes and like blood coming out of his mouth.
Oh my god!
And like I think even like a hard dick. Like
that is really far. Oh,
I don't think he has a hard dick, but it is scary. And we're gonna
put a fucking dick in its mouth with the tendons hanging out, like it's gonna bite off the dick.
Yeah, there he is.
Oh my god, that's horrifying.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, they put him everywhere. There's non-union labor going on, so we're looking at a picture on it.
Where
on
did
the
you
internet.
Find that picture?
I just Google searched inflatable rat union.
Yeah,
and it comes right up.
It was the first
it's
thing
so
that came
scary.
Up.
I don't see it out in LA very much. I wish it were out here. It's pretty awesome.
No, here we just have the text protesters where they hold up those signs that say, "Shame on Lieberman and Lieberman Law Firm."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then these two people who
people honk.
But I love the fact that that feels so Pilgrim Times to me, where like people are professional shame casters.
Yeah,
and that's their profession.
Yeah, I feel like if you're gonna cast shame, you might as well do it in an aggressive way and have a really cool inflatable, terrifying thing to do that with. You know,
reason number 804: New York's cooler than L.A.
Hey,
they don't cast
so many reasons.
They cast shame like pussies
rats.
In L.A. Oh, words. Yeah, I'm really hurt by words. That's not a rat with blood coming out of his fucking mouth.
You miss New York, Rob?
I miss New York periodically. This time of year, I don't miss New York at all. You know, it's freezing cold and everyone's about ready to kill themselves. But I love L.A. I mean, I moved out here when there was like a big exodus from New York and a bunch of my comedy friends moved out here. So so I love it out here. But New York is hard to beat. You know, it's a
great city.
And a lot of people
really. I feel like a lot of comics in New York are like, L.A. fucking sucks. And then 6 months later, you see them out here. And like, what are you doing in L.A. if you hate it? Pilot season.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They all get sucked out here sooner or later.
I think a lot of resentment comes like toward L.A. is just from people having to be here for certain reasons.
Right. For work stuff.
They don't want to
have
to be here. I don't want to have to be anywhere. But, you know, they have to
be here. When people say L.A. sucks, and I go, well, yeah, every city sucks. You just find the pockets that you like, and you live in them.
Yeah.
Like,
and L.A. has tons of awesome pockets.
Yeah, there's great stuff.
I really love this city. I never thought I would as much as I do now. But and I'm from you know, a temperate climate type of area in Hawaii, you know? But this place is just great. There's like neighborhood after neighborhood of just cool different things you can do.
John Ray, Silver Lake, going now.
Silver Lake,
Hollywood,
West Hollywood, Brentwood.
Seeing twinks,
Santa
Monica, and a douchebags in their flashy cars.
I love all parts of L.A. I love Silver Lake. I love Los Feliz, Echo Park, all different parts of L.A.
Well, those parts are all adjacent.
I'm sorry, what?
That's one area
that you mentioned. There's separation.
No, I don't think so.
You don't love all parts. It seems like you love one small part.
There's one section that's connected.
Oh, and then there's that one area between Silver Lake and Echo Park.
Well, again, that's right in the middle. That's encased by all those other areas.
I don't see
it's called Hipster Town.
Yep. I've lived all over. I've lived in Santa Monica, San Pedro,
I love it.
He loves it.
That's the worst song ever recorded.
It really was just built around that line.
The chorus was like, "Look at those cars. Look at that highway. Look at those fucking cars. Look at the fucking highway."
That was just everything he was experiencing that day.
Yeah. Got in my car. Yeah. Drove to the store. Bought some bananas. I got a couple more.
Santa Ana winds blowing hot from the north.
Was that really Randy Newman?
That was Randy Newman.
Yes, wow. And doesn't he do like the most amazing songs for movies and stuff?
Yeah. He does all basically Pixar. Every time there's a Pixar movie.
Like every amazing song, but then that one song was crazy.
Wasn't that a parody song? Like, didn't he sort of do that?
Oh, it was
tongue in cheek.
Mm.
Did you ever hear the parody version of that song concerned. Though? It was a small part in the Run Ronnie Run movie. Or Daffy Mel Yink and Yankle, which was their weird character. Yes. It's like, I loathe LA.
But I think it's tongue in cheek, which makes it funny when they play that at Lakers games and everyone's like, yeah. L.A.
Smog, we love it. We're gonna ride after this if we win.
Like,
we love it.
Line that says, "Look at that bum over there. He's down on his knees."
That reminds me, and I'm gonna tell the story because I'm solipsistic and everything always comes back to me. But when Furman and I performed a song.
Congratulations on the word solipsistic. By the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
I don't know what that means.
It means that basically there is no reality outside my own experience, so everything literally revolves around me. Nothing else has any value.
That reminds me of the time you did something else that you're...
Yeah, thank you. So we performed this song. We have this fake Toby Keith song called American Dinosaurs. We performed it on Kimmel. And whenever we got to the America parts, people went fucking bananas. And we're like, guys, there's dinosaurs. Like, it's a fake Toby Keith song, you know? But we were like... American, and people were like, "Woo!" And then dinosaurs, and then they checked out by that point.
Yeah, they were expecting to say American Jesus.
American Jesus. He was. I mean, listen, he was clearly a white guy, flaxen haired, living in the Middle East.
Yeah,
you know, blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're damn right he was. You're damn right he was, man. He was white,
super white,
and blonde,
damn white,
and tan. And handsome, and cool.
Had a six pack.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a Greg Behrendt joke. Ripped like Jesus.
Oh yeah.
He was ripped like Jesus. Greg Behrendt, hopefully a future guest on the Nerdist podcast.
Hey.
I don't want you feeling comfortable talking about future guests on here, Rob.
Yeah, that feels like a diss to me. Like we already want to get rid of me.
Guys,
let's talk about what we're going to talk about. Looking ahead.
What do you think Greg's going to be like?
When Greg Behrendt?
Greg's going to be really great.
Oh,
cool.
Really?
Such a great album.
When is the show?
Shut up, Rob.
Like that thing he wears on his wrist. That's not a bracelet, but it's thicker.
It's thicker.
I'm confused about what the format of this show is. Has the show already started?
You're in it. No, actually, we're not recording any of this.
Okay.
This is just to piss off anyone who will leave comments on the iTunes page.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm so...
I don't read them.
I don't read them either. You can't.
No.
You can't.
I read them all. I'm so terrified. I love it.
Did you really?
Yeah. But well, it's because people were like, it sucks. Well, there's not that many. Don't get... I'm glad the first example
you pulled out was... No, because everyone's like, it's terrible.
No, not
everyone.
What a waste of technology.
Only,
there's like three bad ones, and I'm sure after this there'll be many more.
Again, Jonah, that's...
No.
No one's going to say anything bad about me, man. No one's going to say anything
except
bad
for the guy
me.
Who directed Frozen.
Globally.
How do you like it, motherfucker?
I don't even know if he's foreign.
Well, just there was one guy just like, they were just talking.
They were just
talking on the podcast with words, and
wow.
Yeah.
So that's American though. That's a very American point of view. Like I did a pilot once that was adapted from a British show, and the British show was called The People Versus, and the whole idea of the show was that the guy would sit at a desk with a little like a bell, and people would come out and just talk about whatever they wanted. Any it didn't matter whatever they wanted they could talk about, and he would engage them. When he was done, he would hit the bell and they'd leave. So we did the American version. It was like, this has to be this segment, and this needs to be... It was so overstructured that people just don't appreciate. Like, yeah, we're just talking.
Yeah.
Like, people talk.
Well, what do they do on most podcasts? I mean, are there, like,
I don't know. Doug, he talks about movies.
Doug talks about movies.
But it's talking.
Yeah,
he's talking.
They divert into, let's just make this a podcast about
other
podcasts.
I want it to be an all-musical podcast.
What do they do?
We should have explosions. On this podcast,
Michael Bay presents the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah, or we should perform surgery on baby animals,
okay. like the dog you found. We could perform surgery on the dog you found.
Well, it's already dead, but it's frozen.
He's not dead. He's probably. I'm telling you, he's destroying my house right now. I bet.
Have you named him?
No, because he's not mine. I can't get too attached to him because someone's going to come get him, I'm sure.
I hate to break this to you. You're already attached to him. Yeah. And it's going to be a teary goodbye.
Spend money.
It is
going to
be a teary goodbye.
You probably already gave him a name.
They're going to come and get him, and I'm going to blow my head off. right in front of them as they leave.
This is what you want!
Just that image of the dog with blood splattering on its face.
Yeah.
Just winces.
Not to make you more deep into wanting the dog, but what would you name it? And what have you probably already named it in your head?
I don't know.
You should go through a book of dog names and see which one it reacts to.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Just to find its real name.
That's a good idea. I don't know. I would like to name him something either really feminine, because he's a scary-looking German Shepherd, so I would like to do that, or go the other way and just name him something super scary, like, you know, Satan, or...
Can I just throw out a suggestion?
Yeah.
Name him Tracy Gold, because I really liked her.
That's a good one.
Growing Pains.
It will be Tracy Gold from Growing Pains.
The full name is Tracy Gold from Growing
Pains.
That's
the other thing to do, is to give your dog a really long name, so when little kids like, oh, what's his name? His name is Tracy Gold from Growing Pains. Like, you have to say that.
Tracy Gold, a.k.a. Carol from Growing Pains. Her name is Carol, right?
I was in seventh grade. Our family got a dachshund, a little miniature wiener dog, and I named it Duke. And then my mom was like, oh, it's great. I was like, no, you got to let me finish. His name is Duke Lexington of the Orion, because you got to give him a knight's name because he's such a dumb-looking dog.
Boy, are you on the right podcast.
I was at a party the other night, and I won't be able to recount this theory correctly, but Hardwick, maybe you've heard of this. Someone told me that they've been doing all this research into black holes, and that they have this theory now that black holes don't even exist. They're just like reflections that sort of like show up and then go away or whatever. And then so I haven't done all the research, but and I was sort of drunk when they were explaining this to me, but it basically blew my mind. So there's a theory now. It was all these old physicists.
We're hanging out at JPL dorms.
There's a theory now that what we are is actually reflections of, like, we're not actually here. This has actually happened millions of years ago, and what we're experiencing is this situation where we're all two-dimensional reflections of intense light that happened somewhere else really far away, and it went through like a black hole, and then it happened there, but you know, millions of years ago, but this is just playing out.
What if I just started throwing up really hard?
Oh, the reality of this is too much for my brain to bear.
I like that. I like the sound of that. It seems right.
But then I thought, well, then why do farts smell? Like, you know, and they said, well,
sense
because
memory?
We're two-dimensional, you know, you still have thoughts, and you know, everything you're experiencing is real, but it just happened millions of years ago, and it's just being reflected through.
That fart started 2 million years ago on Alpha Centauri, and the smell is just getting to you now.
Wow.
And that's how long it takes. A fart year is how long it takes a fart to travel in a year.
Yeah, it's all measured in fart years.
Yep, that's right.
Fantastic.
I love that. I love the, you know, it's funny. I'm always surprised at conversations that break out at parties that all of a sudden, I was at a party and someone was telling me, oh, it was, I'm not name dropping because I don't really know him that
Here
well.
Here comes a name.
Dave Foley.
Oh, boy.
And we were talking.
Who, Woody?
Dave Foley.
Nah, never heard of him.
K-I-T-H? Kids in the Hall? And the poker show? I don't know what it's called.
Dave Foley from the poker show.
Poker show. Yeah. Poker show Foley. And he was telling me, because he loves physics, and so he was telling me about he was the first person that ever told me about superstring theory and substring, and so we were in the middle of this conversation, and this drunk douchey guy came up and he was like, man, there's no superstrings, it's all bullshit. But his character completely was opposite what you would expect that guy to refute superstring theory when he was trying to tell me about this book that this guy Brian Greene wrote. So it was just really weird. I'm like, am I really at this party right now? So maybe the reflection from that experience had been toyed with. Doctor Who.
That might have been altered. Speaking of Dave Foley and what was the name of that show? Celebrity Poker or whatever?
Celebrity Poker.
Yeah. You're talking about pilots. You did. I did a terrible pilot for Bravo that they actually aired one time and then they took it off the air. I was the this is the fucking worst. I was the host of a show called Celebrity Pool, where they actually had people playing pool, and you know, they were like kind of, and I don't know,
the most interesting game to watch.
Yeah. I kind of just really hoped it was just celebrities in a pool.
That would have been
for a half hour.
This was me and this woman, this really hot Asian woman, the Black Widow, who's this hot pool player. Yeah. And then they had all
Wait,
these.
What?
I know. Oh, the Black Widow.
I watch ESPN 2 a lot.
Okay. And then they had these like Joe Rogan playing pool and Harlan Williams and all. In fact, Joe Rogan won. I remember, but I was terrible. I was like, oh, what am I doing? I'm a terrible host. Like, you're good at hosting stuff. I was terrible, but it was so embarrassing. I have a VHS tape of it. And
are you ever going to show it at Shit? Oh, by the way, I want to plug Rob Hubel has a monthly show at UCB in LA called Shit Show, and it's fucking phenomenal. You basically. I've done a couple times. You go on and you bring clips from the worst things you've ever worked on, and then everyone just shits on it.
The shittiest thing you've ever done, you have to show.
Have you shown that yet?
I've never shown that. It's just too, there's a couple things that, there's a couple things that I'm holding out on. But now, like, I've done the show. We've been doing the show for about 6 months. And so now I'm running out of, like, other shitty things. So I'm like, oh, God, these things that I was too afraid to show, like, now I have to show them.
Now you're going deep into the Hubel archives.
Celebrity pool, man. Oh, fuck, it was so bad. I was terrible. And it was just no one wants to watch pool.
I would have said the same thing about poker, though. If you had said, we're going to put a show of people playing cards. And, you know, there's like a Filipino guy with a rattlesnake skin hat and sunglasses. And like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. And it's
and
like
it is.
Poker is huge. It is.
Do people
but it's
still
huge.
Watch it?
They do.
They still do?
I think they do. Like, people are poker fanatics.
Yeah. It's gotten better since the whole cam. Like, before, you didn't even see what cards they had. So it was just a bunch of people guessing.
Just people
sitting. Oh, that
in
sounds
a
like bullshit, man.
It was like Dick Van Patten guessing. He would host the poker tournament. I'm not even kidding.
By the way, since we're on the topic of Dick Van Patten. Next time
pull
you're
our dicks out.
Pull your dicks out and then start patting them. The next time you're in, I apologize for that. I hate myself right now.
I like that joke.
The next time you're in a pet store, look for the Dick Van Patten dog.
I saw
food.
Him.
You
I saw
it.
So I was like, going to say, what is that?
The one where it's
Dick Van
like,
Patten has a brand of dog food.
He has a brand of dog food and all these like weirdly kind of racist.
One's in a little
labels.
Tube or something. It's like a little one looked like a balloon. Or like something you could put in your butt. Not that everything has to go in your butt in a pet store.
Again, you said butt plugs
for
dogs.
There's a lot of things that fit in your butt that happen to be in a pet store. But
and, I'm just out of curiosity, if you were to measure that in fart ears.
In fart ears, it's probably 2 fart ears.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, why does Dick Van Patten have his own line of pet food? And why do we know who Dick Van Patten is?
8 is enough.
But no one listening to this podcast knows what the fuck that
it really
is.
Sound
well,
like
then maybe
up,
they'll Google it and learn
it
something.
It sounded like you were setting up a real bad joke. Why does Dick Van Patten have his own brand of dog food?
No, there's no punchline.
I think he must have been like, Newman's got the popcorn and the pasta. I'm going to get the dog food.
Yeah. And it seems like Bob Barker would do that, though. You know, like put his name on. Because of
Barker? Yeah, spayed and neutering dogs.
No. Yep. Oh, wait. Is that why he's involved with pets? Because his last name is Barker?
Yeah, he was. His name forced him into that like.
That's not true. I went to my dry cleaners one time, and they had a headshot of Bob Barker, and his headshot is like him with like 4 dogs like in his lap, and I wondered like, does he go into
if you include the boner?
Does he go into the dry cleaner and then I never know how that works in LA. Like when you see a place with a lot of headshots on the wall,
and it's like Tommy Delfini, and it's
but
some
did
guy
they
with
do they
the
have them with them, or did the people say, oh, would you mind mailing us a headshot?
I think it's something to the effect of that. I'd imagine
they bring them. I think they bring them.
They're carrying it like, hey, just picking up my stuff, and here's a signed headshot.
Listen, no, I think they ask.
You what?
I think they ask and then they get
the place.
Mailed.
The restaurant says, "Can you send us?"
They're probably regulars. They go in there all the time and they see that there's a pre-existing headshot thing, and they're like, "Oh, can I bring mine?" And then they just put them up.
Can I bring
to be nice?
But I was thinking that like this dry cleaner is like they must have to get a lot of cum stains out of Bob Barker's clothes. Doggy cum stains. Just from him humping.
No, he spays and neuters them. They can't come anymore.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, how's he keep his teeth so white then?
Oh,
wow.
Good callback.
Acknowledge that.
Good callback to earlier.
Write that one. Someone write that one down.
Dog dick paste.
Is it me? Do I make things filthy? I don't mean
it's me. It's my fault. I have a 15-year-old sense of humor. But back to Bob Barker, vanquisher of dog cum. That's his goal, is to just make sure that dogs don't have a good time. That's basically what he's saying every time. It's like, hey, dogs, you know how sex feels good? I'm going to fuck that up.
I'm going to ruin that for you.
Yeah.
Even though you're animals and it's your only pleasure center besides your mouth, I'm going to take it away.
And then I'm going to sew up your mouth.
Here's a sticker you can put on your butthole. Get out of here.
here's a sticker you can put where your balls used to be that says vacant. And then
I'm sure Bob Barker's a nice guy. He's a big fan of this podcast.
He loves this podcast.
He loves it.
He absolutely loves his podcast. So I'm sorry to Bob Barker. Bob Barker's going to be one of the ones that posts on iTunes. Yeah. This podcast is bullshit. And then we'll secretly see Bob Barker.
So let's talk about Valentine's Day. Jonah, what are you going to do on Valentine's Day?
I'm doing it right now.
This is it?
This is all I got.
What about
I might...
tonight? No romance? No ladies?
No. I guess so. Maybe I might go watch a movie with a lady.
A pornographic movie?
No, probably a zombie movie or something.
Zombie porn?
No, probably just a nerdy movie to watch. What or about... I might go... get drunk and take pictures with Steve Agee.
What about the movie Valentine's Day? Why not go see
that?
That's
got something for everyone, because there's a, every star in there must be someone that someone likes, right?
Oh, for a second, I totally forgot about the new movie Valentine's Day. I thought, is that a horror movie?
No.
Valentine's Day? Like April Fool's Day or something?
Oh, yeah. What was that? Because I went to see a movie last year in 3D.
My Bloody Valentine.
My Bloody 3D. Valentine. That was a ridiculous... Yeah. 3D movie.
The best part was the pickaxe from the back and the eyeball just pokes out at the audience.
Yeah, that was a 3D movie where they did that retroactively. They shot that movie and they're like, this is crap. How do we make it profitable? Let's go back and shoot like two 3D scenes.
Yeah.
It literally had like two scenes in it. No one even knows what I'm talking about because no one saw this
movie. I saw the movie. It's for you and me, Rob.
Okay, me and you. but this other movie, Valentine's Day, looks great.
Should have been in 3D too.
Should have been in 3D.
I want to see George Lopez in 3D so bad.
I want to see Julie Roberts in 3D.
Yeah.
I want to see Taylor Lautner.
I want to see his abs in 3D.
In 3D. Just like, because they're just like right in your mouth. And be like, ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is weird. Today I saw one of the best male bodies on the street in my life.
Are you doing a bit right now?
No. I was driving near Palos Verdes, and I saw this dude with the craziest bricks.
Was it me?
What? Was it you? No.
Was it this?
Those bricks
was
right
that
here?
Right there?
Oh,
my
these
God.
Bricks?
It was just incredible. I was wowed by
the... Did you shout anything out the window?
Wait, what do you mean? Him? You were driving and you saw a guy walking down
just
the street?
Just walking down the street without a shirt on.
I was just driving around the park in circles at 3 in the morning.
I was in Griffith Park, cruising around.
Like you do.
Like I do. Like one does.
And he had his shirt off.
And he just had the greatest body I've ever seen in real life.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Do you think that he...
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Wow.
I normally don't have good gaydar, but right now it's buried the needle.
Do you think that he works hard for that body, or he was just born with that body?
He seems to have worked hard. He seemed boring. Let's move on.
No, Hardwick, let's talk about how you're going to go see Valentine's Day with this guy you saw walking around a park.
Just for the record, Hardwick just took a sip out of a bowl.
To be fair, there are no cups.
He's drinking water out of a bowl.
There are no cups, and in a pinch, a rhomboid bowl, a square-shaped bowl, has a corner that you can sip out of, so I'm drinking out of a bowl. All right?
Seems
in honor of the dog that hopefully you won't have to give back.
Seems very, very primitive. Mm. Okay, so Hardwick, what are you going to do on Valentine's Day?
Tonight, my girlfriend Janet's birthday is Tuesday, so tonight we're going to have just a couple people over for dinner.
Oh, what time should I be there?
31:30.
Is that military time?
Yep, that's military time.
It's only 24
time.
Hours in a day, so
yep.
That's not even
yep,
on
it's,
the...
So go tomorrow. Military. Go tomorrow.
Space military. Special ops.
Fart years.
It's in fart years.
So you guys are going to have a romantic couples dinner? This sounds like a... group fuck situation.
Yep, it's going to be a birthday orgy, like you do on your girlfriend's birthday.
That would be awesome if that actually happened. If like your girlfriend was like, I have a present for you. I want you to invite all of our friends over and let's have sex with them.
What?
Group fuck.
That's is that a present for me?
It would be terrifying. That happened to my little brother. My little brother was, my little brother is married now. But he and his wife, one time, they were trying to like make couple friends with this other couple. And they're really like into this other couple. They thought they were just like funny and smart. And they were hanging out and everything. And one night they were driving home from some restaurant where they all went and were eating and drinking. And then the couple like just was like out of nowhere. They were like, hey, can I ask you a question? How would you guys like to get fucked by us?
Whoa! Like, weird grammar, first of all.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's exactly how they put it.
But how would y'all like to get fucked by us?
Yeah. And my little brother was like...
You get out! You get the hell out of this minivan!
And then they probably just stand on the road like, well, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. Like, you're gonna get rejected.
Well, honey, yeah, you ask a bunch of couples, one of them eventually.
You know, in the swinging biz,
yeah.
Someone's gonna, you know, 10 no's is worth the yes.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I guess that's how it works. I guess you just have to like put it out there.
You got
to
go out on that limb.
Yeah. You ask me? What am I? I'm not doing anything. I'm gonna make love to this German Shepherd.
You're just gonna stay home with the chef.
Send him home with a baby.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I don't really have any plans.
You guys just want to hang out?
No.
All right.
It seems like that would be depressing.
Yes, it will be.
You're a guy.
I'm surprised you don't want to hang out with a guy who's just talking about the rock hard bricks he saw from the dude walking.
Why can't I just admire a good body?
You make designs out of Post-it notes on your wall.
I didn't do that. Jonah did that.
Yeah.
It seems depressing.
It's not depressing. I livened up the room a bit.
Jonah's a really good Tom Servo, to be fair.
Thank you.
Jonah, do you know a lot of people in porn?
I know just the one.
That's your only friend?
Yeah, just Dana. Yeah.
Okay.
I know her too, through you.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She shot your incredible Christmas music video.
Yeah.
Yeah, she shot it, directed it.
Yeah. She was in it. I thought that video came out really well.
Thanks.
Jonah, that was a great job you did on that video.
Thanks, guys.
On the All I Want for Christmas video. You know,
Why
don't we make a Valentine's one?
Yeah, we'll have just about enough time.
Yeah, we could. Oh, now it's too late. No, it's not too late. We can still do it and put it out tonight.
To the time machine!
We need to go back 30 fart years.
Yeah, she's the only girl I know.
I feel like Steve Agee knows a lot of people in porn.
Yeah, he knows Belladonna and some of those other ones. The thing is, I knew Dana. It's not like I met her when she was doing porn. I met her.
I knew her when she was just fucking guys for no money.
Yeah.
For
no money.
That's actually Chris met her then too. This was
she is super years funny ago. By the way.
She is super funny. There's something though. Like I can't understand. Like at what in your brain? When do you wake up and go? Okay, I'm gonna start doing it. Like
for her, she said it was a gradual process. Yeah, I don't know.
So what? You start stripping first, and then you're like, oh well, I'm making money doing this. I might as well.
Yeah. It's easy for them.
I guess it is. We should have her on. She did Marin's podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess she was great.
Yeah. She's a delight.
We're going to have her on. Dana D'Armond.
Great. Now let's mention other people that you're more excited to have on besides me.
Dana is going to be so awesome.
Oh,
when
guys,
she comes
can
to
you
podcast.
Imagine we'll how have her fun on it's going to be?
Great. We're
going to ask her. She's not going to be talking about some dumb dog she picked up on the street.
It'll be so refreshing to have good guests on.
What, Rob?
Rob, do you have any shows coming up that you want to plug? Or you're on Children's Hospital right now, which is
phenomenal.
Yeah,
we're
phenomenal.
Shooting the second season of Children's Hospital for Adult Swim that I'm really psyched about. And me and Cordry and Ken Marino and Malin Ackerman and Nick Kroll and Henry Winkler and a bunch of people. Megan Mullally. It's going to be super fun. But I mean, that's TV
can,
stuff.
Can you give away the thing that you told me about?
Yeah, whatever. What part was it?
Oh, that you
the
made out
yeah. With? Oh yeah. I had a the other day. I had an awesome hardcore makeout scene with Mrs. Cunningham from Happy Days, Marion Ross, who is 82 years old, and
who Henry Winkler also used to make out with.
Did he in real life?
Yeah, real life.
They dated? No, I think you're thinking of
the Bradys.
The Brady.
You're thinking of Greg Brady dated Marion Ross.
No. I'm pretty sure I saw some blooper reels where they messed up and then they just started making out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I made out with her on Monday, and she's 82 years old, and she has very soft lips, and it was actually charming. I was worried mentally. I was like, oh, boy, I don't know if I can do this. And then, you know, once you do it, a lady is a lady. And it was fantastic.
A lady is a lady.
I don't know if that's offensive or complimentary.
No, I mean it.
A lady's a lady.
I mean it as a compliment. It sounds like I sound like a meathead. But
will you be dating any other octogenarians?
Well,
like, did it open up the possibility for you to, like, you know what? I could roll with this.
No, absolutely not. But it did open up the possibility of, like, oh, when I'm, like, 80 years old, I would love to still be having sex with whoever I'm with that's 80, or even better, 20. But,
pussy high five!
But anyway, but she was great, and Children's Hospital would be really cool. I don't like to plug too much up. Oh, the other thing was maybe the Funny or Die thing on HBO.
Oh, great! Yeah, you did one of those.
We shot a series for that Funny or Die Presents on HBO that starts really soon, and it's gonna be really cool. It's called Hold Up, and it's all a bunch of funny people: Ed Helms and Tom Lennon and stuff. Ruben Fleischer directed it from Zombieland.
Rob Hubel, you are at the epicenter of hilariousness, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having
thanks for
me,
having
guys.
On the podcast, Rob Hubel.
Thanks, you guys.
Good luck with your dog.
Thanks, guys. Rob, I would like to state right now that I don't concur here with Chris. I did not have a good time with you on the show, and I can't wait till you get out of this fucking office.
I hope that you have a terrible Valentine's Day.
Too late.
I hope you just keep stuffing your face with those Laura Dune cookies and staring at rock hard dudes.
I hope that you go to like an adult store and you buy a plastic vagina and you make love to it and it clamps onto your dick and balls.
I'll say it again,
like
Rob,
a bear trap.
Too late.
That's called the bear trap.
The bear trap.
Oh, I was going to have Matt swap out the RAM on my MacBook.
I'll just do it after.
You have to do it afterwards.
Wait, you're going to do that during the show?
Takes him 30 seconds. He's like, there's another Chris Hardwick who's a Rubik's Cube champion who solves Rubik's Cubes in like 30 seconds. He does the same fucking thing with RAM. He'll fucking swap your RAM out so fast you won't even. It's just like, bam. You're like, what happened? He's like, you got new RAM. You're like, no way.
Whoa, yeah. Really?
I snap my fingers. That
sounds like a really cool visual thing that wouldn't be appealing on a podcast.
No,
you'd think, but it's fun to narrate stuff. Now I'm pulling out the battery. Here goes 2 gigs of RAM.
Yay.
And it's in.
Is that the kind of stuff that's the celebrity pool? And now he's going to try and get it into the hole, and he doesn't do it.
Bravo presents Celebrity RAM Swap.
Oh,
that'd be so much fun.
For a second.
I really did think it was celebrity pools. Like you'd go to celebrities' houses and see their pools.
That would be in pools. Such a good show.
This is your standard oval pool.
I'm confused. Is the show over? Or is it still going?
It's kind of both.
So it's over, but so is this part for us, or is it? Will people be listening to this?
I think that the whole thing was for us.
Oh, yeah. It really was.
Oh, I got you.
It was for us and just a handful of other people.
Oh, I got you.
A handful of angry youths,
blind people.
Yeah.
Who are trying to read the iTunes and that when not Braille.
They could just turn text to speech on, I guess.
The Nerdist Podcast. Can't we do better text to speech, by the way? Text to speech is so fucking terrible.
Some of those voices aren't bad.
I have text to speech in my car, and when I call you, I say, call Jonah Ray, and it goes, Jonah Ray.
Like, oh, really?
Why can't it fucking sound better than
my
that?
My Bluetooth is actually pretty good. It pronounces my real last name correctly.
Oh, really?
Which is weird because...
Ray? Why is that hard?
No. My real last name is Rodriguez.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It looks like
Portuguese.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, it's pretty much spelled exactly like Rodriguez.
Why don't you use that name? That name's way cooler.
And it was because, everyone would pronounce it Rodriguez and not Rodriguez.
Who cares? That's even cooler.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just an easier thing. It was just easier when
you
I was...
You don't like Latinos.
No, but I'm Portuguese. When I was signing up for open mics in the beginning, I just kept on getting brought up as Joan Rodriguez, and then I'd come onto stage, and it would throw everybody off, and then I would feel I had to... Explain why Jonah Rodriguez looked like me, a guy from, I look like I'm from the Midwest or something.
And then you throw on top of that, you're Hawaiian, the whole thing is fucking
When I did Live at Gotham, they had the whole thing, it's like, this next guy, originally from Hawaii, I was like, you gotta take that out. And they're like, no, we like to have it seem like we have people from all over the country. I was like, you're gonna ruin the first 3 minutes of my set if you say I'm from Hawaii, and then I walk out on stage.
You fucking coconut fucking poi chin. Just trying to be racist to Hawaiians. All right, thanks for listening. The end.
Is this the end or is this the end?
That was the end, Rob. You blew it off. Fuck.
Her Majesty's putting us gold. Oh, I can't pay for that. Fuck.
Don't have to. We're not making money.
Really, the end.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, right. Rob.
Thanks for that, Libby.
But wait, that's not all. As previously promised, we're going to go over to Motion City Soundtrack now, right before the show at the House of Blues. And it's the first band on the show. A musical guest playing a song. Yay! Day of firsts. Wow. Digging that smooth vibe jazz music that's playing. Yeah, that is royalty-free music. That's what free buys you. It's like... jumping in a Cadillac and driving into molasses. I hope Motion City song is this good. Time for waffles. Yeah.
I saw 4 really depressing words while I was driving over here to the House of Blues, and they were on the Palladium, and those words were Justin Bieber sold out. That really bummed me out, you guys.
Yeah.
Really bummed me out.
Who's that guy? Is he a Disney kid?
Yeah, he's a youngin'.
Well, that's why they have they have a problem with him. They think he sold out because he went to Disney.
He can't possibly sell out when you're 14 years old. You don't even have a soul yet at 14. You can't be enough of an artist to then sell out. I think you're just naturally sold out,
at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that? What? I mean, seriously though, is that the kid on Witches of Waverly Place?
I don't know.
Why do I know this?
I'm not sure.
What is his music like? I've not heard a note. I know my niece loves him.
Yeah,
that's all I know.
Is he on Tapestry Swastikas? That hot new show. Where it's a bunch of young, really attractive Nazi kids, and but they're really hot though. They're really hot. That's the thing. No.
Yes.
Right after Wizards of Waverly Place.
Right after on Disney. Yes.
I met you guys in Minneapolis, which was really nice. I got a tweet. I don't remember who tweeted me first.
this guy Jesse.
Was it you tweeted me first? Probably and is. And you came out to the show and you guys were awesome. And then we got to. Would you like to explain a little bit? Because audio you don't consume with your eyes.
I actually added to it when I was in Texas and put.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
Alan Moe's on there too.
That's fantastic. Jesse has some amazing Pee Wee Herman tattoos on the arm. The snake. You've got the bike.
I've got the dinosaur with seats in his mouth and holding Pee Wee's bike.
There's the road sign that's all twisty turvy.
The squiggly road sign. The gas pump and broken like dinosaur bone that Andy picks up and chases him.
Andy.
And Mr. Breakfast, which consists of pancakes, bacon, eggs, butter, and strawberry. And then
you really should add a box of Mr. T cereal above it.
Yeah, you need.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got room here.
Yeah. There you go.
But I was gonna put the hot dog with the file. I gotta figure it out.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. And then of course the I'm all alone, I'm rolling a big donut, and there's a snake wearing a vest.
Yeah, so I have a snake wearing a vest and a giant donut around my elbow. Which happens to also be the Simpsons donut.
Oh, but it does.
The sprinkles aren't colored in yet.
Well, don't show it to me till it's done. What a bullshit tattoo. I wanna see colored sprinkles.
Rainbow Jimmies.
Rainbow Jimmies. I know, color's insensitive. I didn't mean to say colored sprinkles. That's what my grandpappy would have said. What?
There's an underlying theme.
I'm from Tennessee. I've always wanted to, I always toy with the idea of getting a tattoo and then I'm so non-committal, I feel like in a month I'd be like, God damn it.
That's exactly the problem I have.
Those Why are the ones you put on your legs. Like,
then you
In Japan, I got one that says "Me so hungry."
And there's a squid. There's a squid in there.
Just one. That just says "foods." In Australia, I got a kangaroo with a koala in the pocket that says "Roo Life." Just dumb shit.
Now, when you go to Australia, do you flash that, and are they like, "Oh, that's a delightful depiction of our society condensed into one piece of art"?
The funny thing is, it's actually a take on a flag they used to fly on one of those, I don't know what they call it, but the big sailing competitions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the
that was
what
the,
is that called?
The kangaroo with the boxing gloves, but I put the koala in the pocket to make it better.
Yes, what is that stupid thing called?
One Long Hot Summer. Was that movie the One Crazy Summer?
Is it the America's Cup in Australia?
It was the Australian.
Oh,
I think it's called Boats Ago.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Isn't that the
Ships Ahoy. Ships Ahoy.
Regatta.
Yeah.
Regatta. That's it. Yeah, it's the big race in the end of One Crazy Summer.
That's right. Oh, that movie.
Yeah. Was there a lot of boat racing going on in movies in the 80s?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think Summer Rental. Also.
Yeah, Summer Rental.
Yeah, it was boat race.
Summer movies.
It was really just anything. You know, the bummer part about One Crazy Summer is that Better Off Dead is probably one of my favorite movies of all time, and so. Savage Steve Holland, they screened Better Off Dead up at my girlfriend's comedy festival in the SF Sketchfest. And so Savage Steve Holland came up and spoke, and he said, the experience between Better Off Dead and One Crazy Summer was so different because, he said, I don't know what happened, but whatever John Cusack thought we were making with Better Off Dead, he didn't like it when he saw the finished product. And so working with him on One Crazy Summer was a bummer.
Oh, that sucks, because I love Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
Better Off Dead's amazing. One Crazy Summer I was never so
it's
hot
a little
on.
Weird. It's a little weird.
Except for that one Bobcat Goldthwait part where he's like, oh, and there's this kid and he used to get beat up a lot, and they're like, were you that kid? No, I used to say, why are you so fat? Why are you so fat? And then I beat the shit out of him.
It's pretty epic when he gets in the Godzilla costume and he's stuck in it and the cigarette goes in his mouth and he's breathing smoke.
Oh, and then the Japanese people are there.
He's stepping on all that. It's a pretty epic moment.
That was a pretty awesome movie.
Yeah.
Do you have any body parts left for a Savage Steve Holland pain?
Yes.
You're like stained glass of awesomeness. It's really cool. Well, I don't want to keep you guys too long. Did you want to... I mean, you don't have to play a song or anything, but if you want to, I did bring the snazzy Gibson guitar.
Your new fave?
I did. I'm so gay for that guitar, you guys.
What kind of guitar did you get?
It's the orgasm
a Gibson
face.
What?
It's a J200.
Oh, nice.
And I said, I just kind of called, I just emailed them out of the blue, and I was like, hey, I need a guitar for my television show,
that 1,000 people watch, and I left that last part out because I wanted to get a guitar.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh so hard. I know, but wasn't a joke. Damn it!
Damn it! And then, so they, they sent me. They sent me this one.
Nice, nice.
Pretty. Still smells like lacquer.
Yeah, it does.
You could get high. You could get high just huffing the guitar.
Out here for a minute.
Yeah.
That's nice.
You want to huff the guitar?
I'm scared. I can't even hold it right here because of the way the table is. So I'm gonna give it right back to you.
Oh wow! I can smell it from here.
Does anyone? Does anyone
want to play a song?
Anyone want to play a thing?
Well, you want us to sign it?
I actually just got endorsed by Gibson. So.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
What if I'm too nice a guy and I'm like...
Does that mean that you're allowed to play it? I'm allowed to play it.
Sure, let's just sign it.
And then you just write, like, douchebag on it.
Do you want to play something?
Just draw a big cock.
How would you do that?
Would be one. We go another guitar?
We could go get another guitar.
Yeah, we could grab our guitars and the thing and just do the thing. Or do you want to just do it with one guitar and...
Do you know any covers? You could play a cover and have him sing it. I don't know what he knows.
What ifs? I don't know. This is your show, man.
Yeah. Oh my god, you're right, it is. I'm ill-prepared in the way of covers.
You like how like, none
things.
Of us can make a decision about that?
Oh, yeah, we're horrible. Tell us what to do. Yeah. You want a song? Nobody can make a decision.
Nobody can make a decision.
Here, why don't you just play her words, you do the beat, and then I'll try to sing, and you sing, too, and Jesse, all right. I don't know.
Oh, whistle the
someone
keyboard.
Have a pick.
Does someone have a pick?
And yeah, yeah.
I need to sit in a better spot.
I won't hit the table. I'll hit my lap or something.
Yeah, that's a
good
idea.
Need
more
room?
This is.
Thanks, man.
Sure.
I don't know.
Something's about to happen.
I feel like I should stand up.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
So sorry, guys.
Sorry.
You
just said that.
You can sing that.
Yeah.
Just do that with your voice.
And you just stick arms.
Stick arms.
And you got a kazoo on them?
Time for kazoo.
Kazoos.
All right, we're going to do this?
Sure.
You want to tell them what it is?
Oh, it's called Her Words Destroyed My Planet.
Awesome. Is this from Dinosaur Life?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Maybe you were
sorry.
Right after all.
Sorry, Tyler.
What? No, that was good. I like
five.
Says,
sorry, during it.
Okay. Do you want to do 1, 2, 3?
Yes.
I want to just start it and then you just. Okay. I can.
Maybe you were right after all. Maybe I'm just bad news. I've been drowning in memories. Call it residual blues. I fell asleep watching Veronica Mars again. Hey! Futz with that tourniquet. I tried to squeeze on your dreams. Slung it on, it's a perfect fit. What do you suppose I need? My parents keep asking when you're planning on coming around. If we'd only stay together, off that beard, sold my Xbox to Jimmy down the street. I even quit smoking weed. I'm taking an online course. I'm learning to speak Japanese. If we'd only stay together, I might not have fallen apart. But the words you said destroyed my planet. I stole before I. Thank you.
Spending the afternoon with me. I know I think you probably have to go and rehearse for your show or do a sound check. How long do your sound checks take?
Today it'll be like a minute because we have no time, but usually about 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, we usually don't like to be those kind of bands that don't let all the other bands get on stage fast enough. Sometimes you go on a tour and the headliner will just sound check forever and leave nobody any time to get
ready. And the opening band is actually setting up while the kids are coming in. That's always fun.
I once saw Henry Rollins when I was younger do his like spoken word thing at First Avenue, and the mic kept feeding back, and then he just finally lost his shit in the middle of the set and yelled at song. He's like, "I am one guy on a huge stage, and you can't get this fucking thing to work," because he's like, "Seriously, when this whole band's up here, it doesn't feed back."
Not gonna lie, at the beginning, I was hoping you actually were gonna say that you saw Henry Rollins do stand up, because that would have been that picture.
Kind of like stand up.
Picture in my head, take my wife, please. Just Henry Rollins doing
what's up with flying?
Yeah,
I gotta pay for blankets now. Fuck you, blankets.
And everyone's like, it's really hard edge. Yeah, he just squats down. That's awesome.
No, but.
Stand-up rage.
That needs to be flash animated for something.
So if listen, nerd, if you're listening out there, there's a specific nerd out there who will make the Henry Rollins stand-up flash video. Please, please, please do that on behalf of myself and Motion City Soundtrack. Well, good luck with the rest of the tour, guys.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for sticking around.
That's what we do best.
Goodbye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest. And they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.